Our church will be going through, like I said, I mentioned the election of elders and deacons or ministry leaders. Ministry leaders is another word for deacons. So we are not the only church that go through that. A lot of times people wonder, why do you have to do that? You know, and sometimes churches decided to do that every 3 years to select, because those people elected, they're going to need a break. That's why you don't want them to be elders forever. That's why you don't want them to be there forever. So eventually churches decided in their bylaws to do every 3 years so that somebody get a break and do other things. Now, in most evangelical churches today, you hear the word elders to refer to the leadership of the church. Now, it's clear to me that there are still people in churches that don't understand truly the role of elders. Elders, I mean, the word already implied that older people, older men. You see, like I said, in the pamphlet, through a scripture, you can find elders everywhere, all the way from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The qualifications for elders, they're highlighted in two books, Timothy and Titus, the writings of Paul. But today, I want to spend some time so that we go through their role, their function. What is it that they're supposed to do? According to the Bible, according to scripture. So just the biblical functions that we find through scripture. And just bear with me as we go through, because, you know, most sermons, like, you want to find out what is it in the sermon for me. Just stay with me for a while, and we'll find out what the Lord will have us learn through Acts 20 today. See, we know the church began by the preaching of the apostles. When the church began in Acts chapter 2, there were apostles and prophets, no elders yet. But then as the church was established, then later on, elders were appointed. You have evidence in the biggest church in the first century, which was the church in Jerusalem, where everything started. Jerusalem was the headquarters of Christianity. Jesus had told them, stay in the city until you're empowered. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you'll be my witnesses. And they were in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem had a great church. So you have elders. Later on, there was a bigger church in a town named Antioch, modern day Syria today, north of Jerusalem. And in Acts 11:29-30, Paul and Barnabas were part of that Antioch church, and they heard that there was a famine in Judea, so the brothers in Antioch decided to collect an offering to send to the brothers in Jerusalem. They sent the offering with Paul and Barnabas. They sent it to the elders of the church. So you start to be introduced to the word elders of the church. Already, as the church progresses, as the church continues to move on and also to expand its territory. Now, when Paul began to plant churches, he would train and appoint elders. You can read that in Acts 14, 21 and 23. I just want to read that one for you right now. In Acts 14, 29... Excuse me, 14, 21 and 23 says, they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Paul says, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders, there's the word, for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord in whom they have put their trust. So as a church planting method, usually that's what happens even today. You see that today. When somebody plants a church, they're the ones who eventually appoint the elders of that church at the beginning of the stage. So everywhere Paul and Barnabas and his companions travel, they establish a church, and then they will appoint the elders. Elders were literally, and I just want to just give you that word right now, they were literally the preachers of those churches. They were the pastors. Paul told Timothy to appoint elders in the church of Crete and gave him a list of qualifications. That's when Paul writes that letter to Timothy and even to Titus. He's writing the minister, appoint elders to help you and put them in charge of certain ministries in the church. So you are introduced to this idea of elders. There are elders all over the place. Through scriptures, you find them. In chapter 15 of Acts, there was a controversy about some theological issue about the salvation and circumcision. Paul and Barnabas had to go to Jerusalem to, it says, the Bible says, to see the apostles and the elders of the church. And they were going to counsel together to resolve that issue that occurred in chapter 15. That problem could have split up the church in a heartbeat. But they dealt with that with the apostles and the elders of that particular church in Jerusalem. Now, in chapter 20, the text that we're going to be looking at today, Paul is on the way to Jerusalem. This is Paul's third missionary journey. And I had a map that you can see, like all that purple. He started in Antioch all the way to Uriah. He's going all around. And then he's going to come back south of the island of south of Cyprus. But he says, we're going to spend time where he says in Miletus, what you see right in the center, there it is, thank you. Miletus in Ephesus, that's what chapter 20 takes place. Now, it's interesting because it says Paul was in a haste, he was in a hurry trying to get to Antioch before Pentecost. Pentecost is a Jewish feast that takes place 50 days after Passover. Paul had Passover somewhere there, but now, you know, traveling, he wasn't going to get on a plane. He would have been there. He's going to go either by land or by a boat. Not as fast as the Staten Island Ferry, mind you. He would have made it there quick. He's going on a boat, sailboat, you know, and so traveling wasn't as fast as we're used to today. So Paul was in a hurry to make it to Jerusalem, and he was already in Miletus. And from Miletus, he says that he sent to Ephesus, which is like 63 miles, so you go by land. But if you go all the way to the coast, it takes you 38 miles. He sent to Ephesus for the elders of the Ephesian church to come and meet him at Miletus. And there he wanted to give him the final instructions because Paul realized, you know, those guys will never see me again. I mean, when you read that text, there's tears and things because Paul is saying, you know, he tell him how he lived among them and says, you know, I got to go. You guys never see me again, because he understood, Paul understood based on the Spirit that Jerusalem will be his final place. From there, they're going to arrest him. They're going to take him to Rome as a prisoner. So he's going to Jerusalem. He has something to fulfill. But in Jerusalem, just like it happened to Jesus, it will be, Paul will not be free again to preach. They will arrest him. But he wanted to get there. So he realized, I might not be able to travel again to come back and see you. Let me just talk to you one final word. And I just want to pick it up for you in chapter 20, verse 17. So you see what it is that Paul encouraged these elders of the Ephesian church. So Acts 20, verse 17. You want to stand up as we read? It's up to you. But I'm going to read 17 through 31. Just the word of God. Listen or follow along. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them. Now, this is what Paul's going to tell them. You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that will be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if I only may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you, here it is, none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. And I just want to read 32. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So Paul is on the way to Jerusalem, and he wants to meet with the elders. Why did he call for them? Because if you look at the map, he's already in Miletus, and he wants to go to Jerusalem, which is still south of Miletus. Ephesus is north. So that would, if he had, Paul himself had to go back to Ephesus, that would take him away at least 30-some miles. So he sent somebody to go and get the elders of Ephesus so that they can have this meeting at this a place called Miletus. So when they made it, you know, we don't know how long it took for the traveler. They made it, and then he spoke to them those words. And I love what he said. You know how I live among you. You know how what things happen to me. Now, the first word that I want to introduce you to, the whole idea of elders, who are those people? People may ask, who are elders? What do they do? We hear the word all the time through the Bible. So the word elders in verse 17, that's the word presbytero, which means just an older individual. Experience, older, wise because of the experience, you know. So they were just usually older men because they had the experience. They lived life. They know what was like. Now, that should not surprise you when you go into the Old Testament. The Jewish community always had elders. And it was the wisest over there, the ones that would provide counsel for the Jewish community. Elders were also in charge, when you go through in the Old Testament, of the affairs of the nation. The legality of the nations, the laws, they were the ones who introduced people to the law, to explain to people what the law was all about. So they were in charge of that in the Jewish nation. So you read about in Ruth, usually you always hear that the elders were at the city gate. They were the council. City hall? Those were the council. Those were the people that dealt with government and everything else. For the Jewish people, had to do with the law of God. And they, like I said, they were older individuals. Today we're going to say, oh, any older person could be an elder. I've seen a lot of older men that they still act like kids. But we're talking about older in the sense that they found out they have wise counsel. And you can just talk to them and they will be able to guide you in the right direction. Now, when you read in Ruth chapter 4, 2, and also Proverbs 31, he said, you know what I found out when I was doing the sermon? I don't know if you knew this, but I just want to enlighten you right now, just in case. You know, there's so many books written about the Proverbs 31 woman. There's even an organization called the Proverbs 31 woman. Did you know that she was married to an elder? No, you probably didn't know that. Read that text. Proverbs 31, verse 23. What she says about her husband. So, who has it there? Somebody read it for me.
The whole thing?
No, just 31. What's the verse? 23.
Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land.
Her husband is known in the gate when he sits among the elders. So that woman, 31, that everybody writes books about her. And yes, that's a qualification for elder's wife, by the way. When you look at that. So, says she sits over there and her husband is one of the elders. And how many times we read that and we never pay attention to that? And it just happened that I prepared the sermon. I was like, wow, the Lord just, that's amazing. So the elder had a great wife and she had a great husband. So the elders would be at the city gate. Why? Because that's where people would come to bring any dispute about the nation, whatever it is. And the elders together, they would deal with that. So that's the word that we use to the elders. They were older. Presbytero. Another thing too, we are familiar today with the word Presbyterian. That's the word. Presbytero, that's the Greek word from Presbyterian, means that churches are led and directed by elders. That's where you get Presbyterian churches, led by elders. That's Presbytero, that's the word, in case you didn't know. So, the other two words for elders that we talk about, you see, it's to the elders. He sent for the elders, they came. And now he told them, you know how I live among you. You know, I never hesitated to preach to you publicly and from house to house. And, you know, I was severely, he tells them everything that happened to him. Paul was a living testimony, open book for them. And then he said, now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. But I know that the Spirit tells me that hardships and trials are waiting for me there. But I don't care what's going to happen to me as long as I can complete the task the Lord Jesus gave me. And such task is to testify to the gospel of grace. He said, I don't care what happens to me as long as I can finish my race. That's what Paul says. And then he says, and then he saddens those elders. I know that many of you will never see me again. I mean, so I'm like, wow, you know, this is the last, imagine that, the last goodbye, Paul. After, for 3 years, he was in the church, and now he has to leave. And he says now he will never come back. And he never came back. The other words that we're going to see for elders is in verse 28. Because Paul challenged them to be true to their calling. When he says in 28, the NIV says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The ESV says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock. The flock is another word for the church. Be on your guard for yourselves and for the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That's the word, overseers. The Holy Spirit has made you overseers. What's an overseer? An elder. But what does the actual overseer mean? The word for overseers is the word in the Greek, episkopos. Where you and I get churches called Episcopalian churches. Are you, you know what I'm, because they're run by elders. You see, they might call them, we're going to select episkopos today. Or we're going to select overseers. Or they might say, we're going to select presbyteros today. We call them, we're going to select elders. But we're talking about the same thing. Just different synonyms to educate us, to tell us about the same thing. We have a lot of Episcopalian churches, presbyter. That's where they get it from. That's the word. So he says, be on your guard for yourselves and of the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. An overseer is a guardian, overseeing something. It's a watchman. That's what those elders in the city gates, they were watching over the affairs of the city, whatever was happening, any trouble. People had a complaint, they would come to them. And they said, let's see how we can deal. You overseeing that. Elders in the biblical sense, they oversaw the ministries of the church. Whatever the affairs of the church, it was seen, was overseen by elders, overseen by elders. Keep watch over yourself. So they first, before you can oversee the affairs of the church, you got to see your own lives. He says, pay attention to how you live, and then pay attention to how you are watching over the affairs of the congregation. In 1 Timothy 3:1-15, Paul talks about going through the qualifications. There are men worthy of respect, able to teach, of good testimony. There is, watch your lives closely. At one time, Paul told Timothy, one, people that rule their homes well. Elders are to watch their lives first as Christians. How are they living? Paul is already giving them an example. He said, you know how I live among you. You know I'm an open book. You know that I never hesitated to preach to you. They're to watch their lives as Christians. What kind of testimony are they producing? They must guard the church. But first, he says, guard yourselves and then guard the church of which the Holy Spirit made you overseer. It's interesting. On Sunday school today, we got some movies thing that Joey helped us with. It's amazing. And Joey and I didn't talk to each other. I just got a couple of clips that I want to guide you for this idea of elders when it comes to like their guardians. And maybe you can have it. You know, we're familiar with this movie, The Guardians of the Galaxy. If the church was a galaxy, the elders are the guardians. You understand now? So, you know what the Guardians of the Galaxy would do? We've seen that movie. So, the word is episkopos right there. So, they were the watchmen, the guardians of the affairs of the church. So, that's why Paul says, watch yourselves, pay attention to how you live, so you can pay attention to how the church is doing. You're guarding, protecting. And Paul later on tells you why they had to be on their watch, why they had to be on the alert, because the church will be attacked. And if there's nobody to guard the church, eventually we'll disappear. So keep watch over yourselves and over the affairs of the church. Now, verse 29, look at what one of the things you had to watch for. Verse 29, when Paul talks about, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Be a guardian. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you day and night. With tears, I did it, he said. Savage wolves will rise, he said, to attack the church from the outside, but from within. You know, and Satan knows that usually from the outside, churches will persevere strong from the outside. It's from within. Satan does this. He comes to church, he sits down over there, listen to the sermon, and then there he will work among ourselves to distort the truth, to draw disciples, so that we be distracted by what he's doing. He did it in the first century, and if he did it back then, he's going to continue doing it today. That's why elders be on alert. Watch yourself. Any little thing Satan just can use and get his foot into the church. And boy, I mean, the church has been here almost 50 years. And you know the ups and downs you all went through. And that's not over yet. It will continue, but that's why you got to be on alert. Be the guardians of the house of God, the guardians of the church. Savage wolves. The Bible talks about Satan masquerades himself as an angel of light. Like a wolf in sheep clothing. He would do that. So that's one of the things why elders have to always pay attention, especially there's so many false doctrines, false teachings that might come to infiltrate the church so that the church will no longer follow Jesus. They will follow somebody else. Elders watch over the Christian doctrine. They watch over the ministries. They watch over the legal matters and so forth. Titus 1:9 says, talking about the elders, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Let me translate it for you. Elders teach, they admonish, they encourage, but also they rebuke. Sometimes, the whole training thing, you have to rebuke people sometimes because they might not be getting it. So Paul tells that to Titus, one of the young protege that he had. So we have elders, were presbyteros, older, wise, experienced. They were episcopos. That means that they're guardians, they're watchers. They pay attention to themselves, to their lives, but also to the doctrine. But elders, this is the other word that we have in here. The NIV says, Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Now, the ESV, the ESV says, care. You are to care for the church of God. Shepherds will care for their sheep. Now, but if you were to look that word up in the Greek, if you can just sometimes, Google, that's a great website out there. It will give you the word in Greek of that. And that, for we talk about shepherd. Poimenem, which is the Greek word for shepherd, or check it out, newsflash, pastor. Somebody who tend for or care for the sheep. That's what elders truly are. I mean, I'm just gonna get ahead of myself right now because I have it at the end of my sermon here. Truly, an elder is what a pastor is. Now, today in our society, we pay pastors to do the job. And I think maybe because we pay them, we assume that they are to do everything. But elders were the ones, the pastors. Remember, Paul and Barnabas were traveling missionaries. They were appointed churches. And the churches were led, the whole preaching, teaching, all the ministers they had, by whom? Episcopos. Guardians, the elders did that. So that's the biblical definition of what elders are supposed to do. So, shepherds. It says, shepherds, God's flock. You see, the church is not the elders or the ministers. The church is God's. But God appointed them to put them in charge, to be stewards, to guard, to take care for that. Now, you might ask, what does a shepherd do? And there's so many imageries of what the shepherds is supposed to do, a metaphors in the Bible. Psalm 23 is a great one. When David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not, he guides me. He leads me by, to a still water. He comforts my soul. I mean, that's the exemplary idea of what a shepherd is supposed to be like. And even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil because I know who my shepherd is. The Lord is my shepherd, my pastor, the one who takes care of me right there. Paul says, be shepherds of God's church, which he bought with his own blood. As Solomon reminded us today, Jesus bought the church. It's his, but now there are men appointed to guard that because we know the savage wolves are around. There's so many things that might come to infiltrate the church, to attack it, to destroy it. Some churches have been destroyed all because they took their eyes off Jesus. Because if I remember the words of Jesus, despite what churches go through in this life, Jesus said, not even the gates of hell will prevail over me. That's when Jesus is removed and we just do things based on our own. It's a recipe for disaster. Jesus still has to be the center. That's why he says, be shepherds of God's church that he put you in charge of. But remember, it's his. He bought it. It's not yours. You're here to care for the church. Just like Adam and Eve were supposed to care for the creation of God and they listened to Satan. And you know what happened? That's why we have Genesis 3 all the way to Revelation 22, because they listened to Satan rather than listening to God. So many attacks. Be watchful. Be shepherds of God's church. Jesus, in John chapter 10, he is called the Good Shepherd. And there's another example of what the shepherds are supposed to be. Jesus said, my sheep know me, and I know them. Shepherds, elders, you have to know your sheep. I mean, if you don't have a relationship with a sheep, then you should not be a shepherd. Jesus said, the good shepherd know my sheep, and I know them, and they know me, and they hear my voice, and they follow me. I always say, if I go to a church that people don't listen to me anymore, then it's time for me to go. I've been there before. You know, the reason that I came here, because I was at a church that I realized I'm saying the same thing. People are not getting it. Maybe it's time for somebody else new to come and just say the same thing I did, because my sheep are not listening to me. So I got to find new sheep that would eventually listen. If I'm truly a shepherd, you understand what I'm saying? So because Jesus said the shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, and they hear his voice and they follow him. There's a relationship between sheep and shepherd. Somebody wrote a great book out there for elders. It's called They Smell Like Sheep. If we're true shepherds, we have to smell like sheep. Because we're around them all day long. So shepherds, that's why nobody wanted a job in the first century, to be a shepherd. The Romans despised that. Because, you know, it's like dealing with sheep. People think that sheep are like the most not smart animals, I guess. But again, shepherds have to do the job. And they smell like sheep is because you're dealing with them day in, day out, night and day. So Paul is writing to them, be shepherds. It's almost like, be what God called you to be. Be true to your call. Be shepherds of God's church, of which he bought with his own blood. So shepherds are presbyteros, they're older, wise, experienced men. They're episcopals, they're guardians of what's going on, the affairs of the church, every ministry, they got to be involved in that. They're watching for things that might attack the church and you know, things that might come and Satan try to get in. But they also shepherd, they care for, they lead people to where they need to go. They lead me to still water. Like, shepherd cares, they provide, they feed, they protect. That's what shepherds do. And then Paul goes on saying, for 3 years I warned you day and night with tears that I care so much about you and I know I won't see you again, but I'm warning you again. After I leave, savage wolves will come, but be shepherds of God's church, of he made you overseers. He put you there for a reason, to guard his flock so that the wolves will not come and attack it. Be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease to night and day to admonish you with tears. Churches in the first century were led by leaders that we know as elders or guardians or overseers or shepherds or pastors. So in other words, shepherds really did what a modern day pastor do today. You know, that's what the elders, the churches were led by elders. You know, there are churches today that's what they decided to, the way they function. You know, some churches have a hierarchy. You perhaps come from one of those that they have somebody that's higher than everybody else. Like Methodist churches are like that. They have a council, like the Baptists, they have like, you know, the church does not operate by itself. There's a council somewhere. They tell them what to do. Churches in the first century did not have a council. They were independent churches, and they were led by elders. The apostle would come and appoint them. Then the elders would be responsible for the preaching, the teaching. Any ministry that came, they oversaw the ministry. They themselves did not do the ministry, but they were watching over how things were going. You know, that was part of the thing. Guardians, overseers, pastors, they taught, they preached. They watched over whatever was happening there. In other words, like I said, the same role of a modern-day pastor was the job of the elders, biblically speaking. Now, I just want to, that was Paul's idea of elders. I just want to hear from Peter, and I want to conclude with that today. Peter has something similar. He exhorts the elders, and he himself calls himself an elder. Interesting. Peter was an apostle, but he says, I'm writing to you as an elder, as a fellow elder. Perhaps he's talking about one who's more mature, one who's already advanced in years, but, you know, somebody who also was a guardian of the church, somebody who was shepherd of God's people. So in 1 Peter 1, 5 through 4, I just want to read that for us today. The NIV says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, Peter's talking about, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Then he says this, be shepherds of God's flock. Again, the same challenge. Be what you've been called to do. Do what you've been called to do. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. You're caring for the flock. Serving as overseers, and there's the other word. You see, like he's using the same terminology that Paul, and mind you, they did not send an email to each other to find out that they wrote the same thing. Just Paul understands. I mean, those are the words that were floating around in the first century. Paul says, be shepherds, and there's the other word, overseers. Episcopos. Not because you must. So don't be an elder because, oh, I have to do it. If I don't do it, nobody else wants to do it. Don't do it then. Listen to me carefully right here. Peter said, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you. That's what cowboys do to the cows. That's why they have spurs and whips. The shepherds have a staff to guide him. So not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And I love the last phrase Peter says, and when the chief shepherd appears, who's the chief shepherd? Jesus. When the commander-in-chief, he says, appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. So these, according to the Bible, these are really the functions, the roles of what shepherds are to do. Elders, wise, mature. They also call episcopos, guardians, you know, watchmen. They also call shepherds, pastors, somebody who's caring for the affairs of God's church. You want to know what they do? Just dive into there. Three words, Peter and Paul used them to help us understand truly their function. I mean, the qualifications are all over the place, but there's a function. What are they supposed to be doing? Because, you know, as every church, as elders, if you know that you're not still there, it's time then that you do what God called you to do as elders, as leaders. Be shepherds of God's flock, which he bought with his own blood. And then he says that one day we're all going to be held accountable to how we have been taking care of God's people. Just like Adam and Eve were held accountable when they messed it all up, God will come and hold us accountable. How do you take care of the church? How were you a watchman? How were you a guardian of God's church? How were you a shepherd? And then he says, when the chief shepherd comes, if we have done well, he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. And it says he will give to those shepherds a crown of righteousness, the crown of glory that will never, ever fade away. It's a great task. It's a great honor to do, but it's not easy. But you see the rewards that the Lord's already put in place. Every church is led by this man that we know as elders. From here, everywhere you go, in the evangelical arena, elders. They might not call them elders. They might call them episcopos, bishops. They might call them shepherds or pastors. So that's, I just wanted just to bring that over there because I realize there's still some confusion as to what the elders are supposed to be doing. And I always want to go back to the main source where we get everything, the Word of God. That's the teaching for all of us this morning. And I'm going to pray, and then the praise team is going to come and sing the songs of invitation. I just want to thank you all for being here today as we worship our Lord and Savior together as one family. You know, this is like the headquarters. We come here to be strengthened with one another, but this is not our mission field right here. Our mission field is not being together. Our mission field is out there. Nelson and I always talk about, he said, this is like the army. You come here to be trained, to be patting the back sometimes, to be rebuked when we're not doing what we're supposed to do. But the mission field takes place. The moment you step out of that door, you enter the mission field. You enter that war zone. And there you are to be ambassador. There you are to take care of whatever it is that God has given to you. I just talked today about the elders, and they have a job to do. Guess what, church? All of y'all have a job to do. We all been given something, and you just got to find out what that something is, because God has blessed us with so many things, gifts, and abilities. And yes, they have a role to accomplish, but so every Christian has a role to accomplish in the body of Christ. We just got to do that and be true to our task. Because one day God's going to hold us accountable to what we do, what we did with the gifts that we have, what we did with the time and whatever it is that he gave us, and we do not utilize that for his glory, then we're in trouble. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you so much for the counsel of your word. Thank you that your word speaks life into our soul. Thank you that we can find out really what we're supposed to be doing as we wait for the chief shepherd to appear. Lord, we have a job to do as we go around and introduce people to Jesus. And it won't be easy because we're battling against savage wolves, and they will come to attack, and they will not spare any church. We know so many stories of churches that they have not been on guard, and they were destroyed. They removed you out of the center, Lord. May we never do that. May you continue to be the center as we serve one another, as we serve your church to accomplish your mission on earth for as long as you have us here. Lord, all of us been given abilities and talents, and you expect us to use them for your glory. May we be true to our call, to our task, to care, to guard, to shepherd your church, according to the biblical principles that Jesus, you have given to us. All glory and honor is yours, and thank you for each member who's here today, for those who could not come. But may we, strong as one body, as one community, continue to be the salt and light that you have called us to be in this community. All these things I pray in the most powerful name, and that is Jesus. Amen.